Where is your faith? In Luke chapter number 17, as we preached under the tent a few weeks ago, the Bible said in verse number 8 of that chapter, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And of course, Jesus in the text was dealing with the subject of prayer and the reality of the affliction and the turmoil, the anguish of the people of God. And he said, "Will there be faith when I come back to this earth?" And he's looking at the condition that the church will be in, and yea, the world collectively will be in that day when the trumpet sounds and the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this earth. The diminishing of faith as we approach the end time is a reality. There is a statement that we preach as a statement of, admonition and exhortation from the Bible, but in reality, it is a very prophetical statement. Jesus said, and of course, the prophets declared this, is about three times in the Word of God, the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. Now, that is an admonition, that is a commandment, and that is an exhortation for you and I that desire to live godly, to walk with the Lord, to live by faith. But in reality, amen, I believe that it is a very prophetical statement. For I believe as the days are approaching to the end time and to the return of the Lord Jesus, that there is going to be more faith required of the just to live in these days. The just shall live by faith. Now, we live in a world that is completely regulated and governed and driven by emotions and feelings and flesh. And we all know that this morning. But I'm telling you, it is very important that you understand, amen, if you're going to walk with God in this world and have peace in your heart in the midst of the turmoil that you face in life because of sin and Satan and the depravity of man that exists around us today, you're going to have to know something about Bible faith. What does it mean to have faith in the Lord? And so we're fully aware this morning that faith seems to be diminishing around us. The scripture is clear. When people get passive, when people begin to get passive toward things that are perverted, it's not long till they start participating in those perverted things. What I mean by that is, you know, someone would think, well, I would never go down that path of life. I would never live that way. I would never act that way. I would never be like that. But yet you get passive toward it. You get passive toward perversion. It's not long till you participate in perversion. And before it's said and done, there's always punishment and the judgment of God. You can go to the book of Revelation. You can read about the days of Noah. You can read about the days of Lot. You can read about the idolatry and the wickedness that went on throughout the nation of Israel in its history in this Bible that is on the desk today. And you will find out that men got passive and began to accept wickedness and perversion. Then they found themselves participating in it, and judgment fell. I said judgment fell. In every case, God brings judgment on sin. Days of Noah, days of Lot are spoken of in the Word of God. And we know that those days are combined when we look at the brink of the apocalypse, the reality that Jesus Christ is soon to come and catch the church away. And Jacob's trouble will then exist upon this earth. And God will bring judgment upon this earth because of her rejection of the truth of God. Both of those days combined, there was violence in the days of Noah. If you read the Word of God, there was vice in the days of Lot. There was partying in the days of Noah. There was pleasure in the days of Lot. Men were governed by it and consumed with it. There was lust in the days of Noah. And there was laziness in the days of Lot. The Bible said they sat around idle doing nothing. Every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually in the days of Noah. Noah lived and preached in a day of pornography. If you read the Word of God and see what's going on during those days, the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and we know that that perverted act, amen, produced giants in the land. But then there was a perversion in the days, listen, of Lot. And now we live in America, and not just in America, but around the world, there is perversion and pornography all joined in together. There is vice and violence all around us. There is pleasure and partying all around us. There is lust and laziness all around us. You better have faith this morning if you're going to make it in this world. Because following those issues is always a judgment of God. When faith declines, here's what happens. And you see it in the text that is before us. We understand that Jesus has gotten on the ship with his disciples, and they're going to the other side. Jesus falls asleep. And as often happened on the Sea of Galilee, because of its geographical location, just out of nowhere, a storm could pop up. I mean, no warning, no indication, no way of finding out if it's going to take place, just out of nowhere. Where a storm would pop up. And that's what took place in the text in which we have read to you this morning. And there's things that happen and things that are taking place in these disciples' life. May I say to you this morning that when faith declines, frustration follows. When your faith gets weak, you're going to get frustrated easy. And in that frustration, you'll have questions that have no answers. You'll wonder here and wonder there and struggle in life's decisions and the things that that you don't understand about life. You know what that's a reality of? You know what that is evidence of? A weakened faith. Amen. I'm talking about a faith that has declined, or a faith that is unscriptural, a faith that has no scriptural foundation. We live in a day where people have turned faith into superstition. They believe that faith is, you know, if you believe this enough, that it'll happen. It's mind over matter. That's humanism. That's not Bible faith. And so this morning, when faith declines, frustration follows. When faith declines, fear comes. The Bible said that these men were afraid. When faith declines, fear comes. You start being afraid of every step you take and everything that's going around you. You worry about it. You're consumed with the negative things that can happen in your life and that will happen, and you're overwhelmed with fear. That's what happens when faith declines. And I submit unto you today that this generation of Christians, as we call it, amen, live in fear. But the Bible said that perfect love casteth out fear. Frustration follows, fear comes, then people get frantic, amen. When faith begins to decline and faith begins to diminish in your life and trouble starts taking place, you'll start running in every direction to try to find an answer to the problem that you have. You'll start reaching in every place to try, amen, to get the thing fixed that you don't want to happen or that's going on in your world. And I'm telling you this morning, it is very important that you understand that God, listen to me, God is in control of every situation that goes on in your life. Every one of them. And you're going to have to learn today to understand that by faith, He knows what's best. And it may not be best in your mind, but it's best in God's mind. Amen. I don't understand all that goes on and takes place. And we can sit down and discuss this, ask this question, ask that question, and say why here and why there. But I'm telling you, if you will have a biblical faith and a trust in the Lord Jesus, amen, that goes beyond just this fleshly, superficial flesh and faith that is manifested in this Christian world, you can make it through. Amen. Let me get to my message. If I can. When faith declines, frustration follows. When faith declines, fear comes. When faith declines, people get frantic. They start running everywhere. Go to the bank, run to the credit agency, run to the credit card, run to the checkbook, run to mom and dad, run everywhere instead of believe God. Then when faith declines, Brother Joe, people start forsaking things. There's a storm in Acts chapter 27. And in the midst of that storm in Acts chapter 27, when they started out on that journey, there were some things that meant something to them people. They put some tackling on the ship. They put some cargo on that ship in Acts 27. And those things were precious and meant something to them when they set sail. But a storm hit. I'm talking about a bad storm. And the ship began to rock to and fro, up and down. And I'm telling you, water started coming in the ship. And here's what they said in the Word of God. It said, they threw the cargo and the tackling overboard. What meant something to them, what they felt in their heart, that they needed to make it through and to arrive on the other side. They junked it all and threw it overboard because they lost faith in the storm. You'll forsake some things if your faith starts declining. Where is your faith this morning? Huh? Now I'm going to tell you something. You've got your faith in something or someone. Where is your faith? What's your confidence of life built around? Everybody in this building, there's people here today that don't know the Lord. You've never been saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, being born again is not a way of life. It's not accepting a set of beliefs or a set of rituals. But I'm telling you, hey man, I'd heard the Bible preached all my life. I'd been raised in a Baptist church all my life. But God, by His marvelous grace, saved my soul and changed my life and gave something into my soul that I've never known before. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, religion will fail you in the storm. But faith in the Lord Jesus can see you through it all. Amen. Well, when faith declines, frustration follows, fear comes, frantic. People start, you know, running and trying to just do. I'm telling you, people do some foolish things when their faith is diminished. When trouble comes, then faith. I'm telling you, when faith declines, when faith diminishes, people start forcing stuff. Amen. I don't know how many times that I have had to fix and repair things because people force it. Are you listening? I've had keys broke off in ignitions because people couldn't get them to work and they'd break them off in the ignition. That ever happened to you? Amen. I've had all kinds of things broken and torn up that I've had to repair because people just push it and push it and push it and force it and force it. Now I'm going to tell you something this morning. You better be real careful when your faith starts declining. You'll start forcing things. There's another story about a storm where the disciples did not have the Lord Jesus in the boat. He was alone on the land praying for them on a mountain, and they were in a great storm out to sea. And the Bible said when the storm hit, they were toiling in rowing. They set out rowing, just, you know, smooth strokes, the vessel, Brother Crabtree, just sailing right across the water. But I'm telling you, the storm hit, and they got frantic, they got wild, they started toiling, they started pushing, they started working hard. I'm telling you, they were toiling and rowing. They started forcing things. You better be careful what you start forcing when your faith is declined. I asked a young man the other night, we were talking about a lot of different things, a lot of different problems, a lot of different situations. And here's what I'm asking him. I said, according to what you know about the Bible, about being a dad, about being a husband, about being a godly individual, are you right with God? He said, no. I said, there's no sense in discussing anything else. No reason to talk about anything else. No reason to discuss any other problems. That's the problem. But people want to fix things and everything to go their way and everything to be stacked in their advantage when their faith is falling apart. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to get fixed. I'm telling you, living for God is a life of faith. And if you force things and you get frantic and you let the flesh begin to govern your world, when your faith is falling apart, it's going to cause trouble. Where is your faith this morning? What happened to it? What happened to your faith? Have you ever had any real biblical faith? What happened to your faith? Where's it at? Does everybody listen to me? Where's your faith at, John, in a time like this? Here's what it says. Now it came to pass on a certain day. Where is your faith in a time like this? And a time like this will take place in your life. Where's your faith in a time like this? Where is your faith on this day? Not yesterday. We're not talking about yesterday's faith. We're not talking about faith when you were 7 or 8 years old. We're not talking about faith when you did this as a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. We're not talking about faith when you seen God work in your mom's life or your dad's life or your grandmother's life or your grandfather's life. We're not talking about the faith of Charles Spurgeon. We're not talking about the faith of D.L. Moody. We're not talking about Billy Sunday's faith. We're not talking about the faith of those of yesteryear. We're talking about today, right now. It came to pass. It came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. Where's your faith at in a time like this? Well, they were fellowshipping together, Jesus and his disciples. Looks like a pretty nice setting. Jesus and the disciples are fellowshipping together in verse 22. They're being fruitful. They're, you know, seeing God work and God move in their life. They're seeing things happen here. They're seeing the Lord perform miracles. They're seeing people come to Christ. They're seeing the power of God work. They're amazed and they see the hand of the Lord minister. There's about 4 or 5 different things that's fixing to take place that illustrate the power of Christ to his disciples. They're fixing to land on the shores of Gadara and touch a demoniac, a man that is possessed with the devil after this storm. And so there's fruitfulness going on here. They're following the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they are serving God. They are in the will of God. They are happy. And Jesus says, we're going to the other side. Let's get on this ship. So they got on the ship to go to the other side. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to be following the obedient command of the Lord, being obedient to the command of the Lord, serving God. Where's your faith at a time like this? Where's your faith on a trip like this? It was planned. Now, the disciples may not have planned it. Sure, they didn't. They were just following the Lord. And there were other people on the trip. It wasn't just John, and it wasn't just Matthew. It wasn't just James. Fact of the matter is, Doubting Thomas was on the trip, and so was Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray the Lord Jesus. Andrew was there. Amen. Nathaniel was there, I'm sure. His disciples were there. All those men were there on this trip. Not just one, not just a singled out individual facing this trip and needs faith. There's a lot of people on this trip. Have you got faith? on a trip like this. It's a trip that other people are on. It's not just about you. It's a trip that Jesus has planned that you probably didn't have anything to do with the decision making. Are you ready for a trip like that? Do you have faith for a trip like that? Amen. It's planned for a purpose. Amen. Jesus has made a planned trip. It's got a purpose, and it may not to seemingly be to your liking, to your well-being. In fact, the trip may not be exactly what you thought it was going to be, but it's planned. There's other people on the boat, and this trip has a purpose. Now, where is your faith on the trip? Here's what Jesus told the Apostle Paul when he saved him by the grace of God on the road to Damascus. He birthed Paul into the family of God and gave him life. And then he said to Paul, "You're going to suffer many things for my sake." Now, I don't know about you, but in the flesh, I might have would have stopped and said, "Now, Lord, I thank God that you forgive me of my sin, and I really don't want to go to hell when I die. And I'm glad for the peace that I've experienced in my soul, and I thank you for it. I really do. I'm not ungrateful for what you've just done for me, revealing yourself unto me and showing your power and your presence unto me. But hang on a minute about the suffering stuff. I really don't want to suffer. I really am not prepared or geared to suffer affliction." But Paul set out in his life knowing that he was going to suffer great affliction for the cause of Christ and the preaching of the gospel, and that was the type of trip that he was going to take. And you read about it all the way through the Word of God. He's beaten. He's stoned. He floats around in the deep on boards. He's taken up for dead, probably most likely going blind. He's forsaken by Demas. His heart has been broken. His soul has been hurt. Where's your faith on a trip like that? These people in this church get their feelings hurt over some of the silliest stuff and think about leaving the church over it. God help if they had to face getting beat with rods because of what they believed, or stoned, or threatened. Where's your faith on a trip like this? Where's your faith at a time like this? This time's going to happen. This was going to take place in their life. Now, it didn't take place until this day, but it took place on this day. Where's your faith at a time like this? Where's your faith on a trip like this? Where's your faith with trouble like this? You listening? The Bible said that they were filled with water. The ship was full. I mean, that what that indicates to us is the very problem, listen to me, the very problem around them had for all of a sudden came in on them. Did you get that? The problem that was on the outside of the vessel that was carrying them to their destination had got on the inside of the vessel. The ship was full. I mean, it's one thing for the storm to rage out here. It's one thing for the economy to be bad and the political structure of the world to be ungodly and perverted and wicked. It's one thing for the electricity to go off and the water supply to shut down and wars and rumors of wars and threats be all around us. It's an altogether different thing when those waters out there that toss the ship start coming into the vessel that we feel like is going to carry us on our destination. Amen. Where's your faith when this kind of trouble takes place? Are you listening to me? Faith with trouble.
The ship is full. The storm is fierce. You ever been in a storm? I'm talking about in a real storm. Have you ever faced grief that you didn't think you could bear? Did you ever come to a place in your life when you just didn't understand all that was going on and you couldn't seem to find an answer from nobody, from nowhere? Have you ever prayed and it seemed as if no one was listening? I have. I laid out in the middle of the night in the grass one time and begged God to let a young boy live. And I'm going to tell you what, you could have closed me up in a concrete block cell with no windows and no doors. And I couldn't have felt no more secluded or withdrawn from God than I was when I did that. Are you ready? Where's your faith when trouble like this comes? The storm can get fierce. I'm telling you, life can be difficult. Life, living in this world, can be overwhelming. If you don't believe that, if you need a reality check tonight about that, the best thing for you to do is in the morning, take the day off of work if you're a man, and ride to Coast Air Hospital and just spend the day walking through those rooms. If you don't think life can be difficult. If you don't think sin and destruction can be overwhelming and the devil is powerful, just stroll through the nursing homes where people feel like they're forsaken, their sons and their daughters that they give their life to raise. Don't even come and see them. Don't even come and try to reply in their life, amen, of any, or repay in their life any benefit that they've rendered from them. I'm going to tell you what, the devil and Satan and sin is very destructive. And that's all of that comes from that source. This word rebuke in this verse, when he rebuked the wind, that is the same exact word that's used when he rebuked the devil and cast out demons and cast out devils from people that were besieged and overrun and overwhelmed by wickedness. Same word. That storm that's taking place in here, Jesus used the same exact word to rebuke that storm as he did to rebuke the devils. All of that comes from Satan. It's a part of where we're at in this cursed world. Where is your faith? When the reality of depravity and the choice that Adam made, that you would have made if you would have been there too, where is your faith when the reality of trouble breaks in? The ship's full. The storm is fierce. The Savior seems silent. It almost appears to be foolish to the disciples. And I speak with reverence when I say this, but have you ever thought that God didn't know what he was doing? Have you ever thought in your life that God, what is going on here? What's taking place here? Where's God at in this? I remember years and years ago, there was a preacher, a young preacher, and I mean, he had a great church, a great preacher of the gospel, a man of God that had the power of God on him. And through things going on in time, the devil got in his home, and his wife cheated on him. She was running around. He happened to find either a tape conversation on a voicemail or something to that nature. And here he is. He's been praying all his life since he's been saved, reading the Word of God, preaching, pastoring a great church. And another man of God went to his aid while he was faced with this dark trial that had overwhelmed him. And when the man of God pulled into the parking lot of his home, he stepped out of his house with his eyes bugged out and his hands in the air and saying,
said, preacher, what's God, what's the potter got in mind now? What's the potter doing now? What's the potter got in mind now? His whole world was caving in around him. His whole world was crushing in over on top of him. What's the potter doing? Preacher, what's the potter got in mind? Where's your faith with trouble like this? That's what Jesus is asking them. Where is your faith? This is serious. This kind of faith is serious in these days. Where's your faith at a time like this? Where's your faith on a trip like this? Where's your faith with trouble like this? And lastly, where's your faith to get through this? Here's what Jesus said in verse 25. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Now he said that to them after he calmed the storm. He didn't say that unto them. He didn't wake up and arise from the ship in the midst of that storm and say, okay, if y'all have faith, we'll get through this. Or if y'all have faith, I will calm these waters. He got up, he settled the storm, rebuked the wind, and then he looked at them and said, where is your faith? What he was saying is, I was asleep on the boat, but I had given you plans and instructions with a purpose, and we were going to the other side in the storm. I didn't have to calm the storm for us to get there. Where is your faith? Where is your faith to get through it? Paul prayed to the Lord 3 times, I believe it was, that God would deliver him from a thorn. Outside of Jesus, maybe John the Baptist, I would probably as soon had the Apostle Paul praying for me as anybody that's ever lived. If I wanted God to do something for me in behalf of someone's intercessory prayer in my behalf, I'd choose the Apostle Paul, I think. Paul prays 3 times for something to take place, and God said, I'll give you grace. I'm not going to take this thing away from you. I'm not going to deliver this out of this storm. I'm not going to calm these winds. I'm not going to do away with these waves. I'm going to give you grace to go through it. And by the way, that's an answer to prayer. You know, if we as adults should understand that in our children's world, no is just as much an answer as yes. You know, you ever have a kid come up to you after you've said no and ask you again? They want to ask you again and again. They cannot accept no for an answer, but we're the same way in our faith. If God says no, this is not the way it's going to be, and God says this is not going to happen this way, I'll give you grace, I'll give you what you need to go through it, but this is the way it's going to be. We have that same mentality. But we need, in 2012, and today, this church has existed as an organized body for 24 years today. I believe that's right. And we've seen some storms. We've seen some problems. We've prayed some prayers that we didn't get an answer for, the answer that we wanted. Is that not right? Sure we have. We've asked God for some things that he didn't give us, but he's given us everything that he wanted us to have. Here's what happens. When your faith is diminished and your faith is declined in the midst of a time like this, they got afraid. In verse 25, the Bible said, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they being afraid wondered. They were afraid. They were in awe. They wondered at the fact that he could calm the wind. They were amazed. But in their fear and in their amazement and in all of their awe, they lost sight of what they could have had. And that is, they could have arrived on the other side in the storm if they would have had faith. Is that not right? The Bible said in verse 22, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." Now, I don't know what God's told you. I don't know what God has called you to do. I don't know what God has instructed you to do in your life. But I'm going to tell you what, if it was God, now if it's your flesh and you're trying to put God, get God to put his approval on your choices, then you're in big trouble. Hey, I said, you're in big trouble. If you're trying to get God to put his stamp of approval on your fleshly desires and your wants and things you want to see happen in your life, you're in trouble. But if you'll let your will, amen, be swallowed up in God's will, you can arrive to the destination of God's plan for your life. Where is your faith to get through it? Remember Brother Barry Rackley preaching that message in our meeting years ago on how to get over it, or how to get through it and how to get over it? Remember that? Go through a wall, leap over a wall, go run through a troop, you get over a wall, whatever the case may be. That verse, I believe it's in Psalms, he preached on how to get through it and how to get over it. It's a storm. And all the song service this morning seems to be revolved around what I'm preaching about this morning to some degree, but I'm finished. I'm asking you where your faith is. Faith in a person. Faith in the plan that God has set for your life. Faith in a purpose. Faith in a promise. When your faith is biblical faith that surrounds the will of God for your life and the choices of God for your life, you can rest. You can rest with peace in that haven. I could sit down and ask a lot of questions to you as a Christian. I could sit down and I could ask a lot of questions about why. I could set you down and say, I need you to answer some questions for me. I want to know why a 17-year-old boy died in my arms in the attic of a church, and all he was doing was trying to help his pastor serve the Lord. I could ask you, why did I have to sit on the side of a road while an Amish boy laid underneath my pickup truck and died? I could ask you a lot of questions. I could ask you, why did my dad die unexpectedly and early in life when I've come here and served God for these years and all I want to do is just have a relationship with him? You want to ask some questions? I'd like to have some answers to some if you're just going to have a question and answer session. I'd like to know why my wife had to stay in the hospital away from her family for over 2 months trying to give birth to a child. I could have got in the pulpit and said, deacons, I don't understand why I need some, or I can have faith to get through it. People hurt. People go through things. And I'm just telling you this morning, there's faith. If your faith is in the Lord Jesus, your faith understand. You see, faith can understand things. Oh, I don't want to ask you a question. It's been the age-old discussion. Why did God create the world when he created it? Why did he do it? Anybody know? What did he use? How did he make it? We can sit here and fuss about that. Why did he make it when he made it? What did he use to make it out of? Why did he make it to start with if he knew it was going to be in the mess it's in right now? Yeah. A lot of questions.
But the man, Brother Kevin, that has faith understands that the worlds were framed by the Word of God.
Right.
The man that has biblical, solid, scriptural faith has an understanding of that. I may not, listen to me, I'm fixed to make a big statement, I'm done. I may not know the reason why, but I always, by faith, understand it. I don't know why we buried that young man, Brother Steve. But I understand that I will see him again. I understand that. Amen. And my understanding far overpowers my whys. I understand that. And that makes all the difference in the world. Is your faith in Jesus this morning? Is your faith in Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life that you have met the Son of God and got delivered from your sin, escaped the condemnation and the guilt of eternity? If not, this morning you can get right with God. What kind of shape is your faith in this morning? If I would have set you down before we started this morning, I said, where's your faith? Faith causes you to move. Faith, I mean, the fact that you're going to live from the time we leave this church until we get back here and throughout this week revolves around a confidence and a faith. Everything you're gonna have now, what you put it in is your business, but I'm telling you this morning that every bit of that revolves around faith. What's it in? The government, the power company, the water company, the gas company, the car running. What's your faith in? What is your faith in? It can be in a person, the Lord Jesus, it can be in a plan, it can be in a purpose, it can be stable by the promises of God. After the storm was over, what Jesus is telling them is this. If you would have just had faith, you would have got through it. Are you listening? Where is your faith this morning? Can you answer that question?